Tonight is the 7th of January, 2018, and you've joined us for the evening service of the Pineville House Church. And yes, we are a church. A lot of people say, oh, they're not a church, you know. He's not properly ordained, and they're not a part of any demon nation. They're not a part of the Sovereign Grace Association. They're not a member of the Baptist Association. They don't subscribe to the Westminster Confession of Faith or the Philadelphia Confession of Faith or the London Baptist Confession. They don't even have a steeple or a cross out in front of their little building, and on and on and on. You know, they don't have a baptistry. They don't have a proper elders and deacons and all of that. They're just not a church, they say. Well, I'll let God be the judge of whether we're a church or not. I'll let God be the judge of whether we're blood-bought or not. I'll let God be the judge as to whether he called me in the ministry or not. Not you. Okay? And Paul said, I conferred not with flesh and blood. And I'm glad I didn't confer with flesh and blood, because I probably would have ended up going to a stinking cemetery somewhere. I had all kind of student loans and everything else. And subscribing to all kind of garbage that's not even in the Bible. But anyway, it's amazing how people want to be a part of their little systems, their little cliques. And you're fine as long as you go and you give them money. You put money in their kitty, and you sit down like a sweet little puppy dog and listen to what they have to say. But when you try to turn the tables a little bit, look out. Look out. So anyway, that's no wonder so many people get tired of these organized, like Chris Dernerin says, brick and mortars, you know. I can understand why they do, but yet the brick and mortars can, the people that are coming against the brick and mortars can be just as self-righteous as the brick and mortars. You know, they become self-righteous and cocksure and don't even try to find a place to go meet with people and associate with them and have fellowship with them. They won't even drive 80 miles to go see somebody and have fellowship with them. So, what's the old saying? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Anyway, that's just my little side rant this evening. We're going to have a talk show tomorrow evening. I don't know if anybody's going to show up tonight or tomorrow night or not. But if they don't, I'm still going to say what's on my mind, who the Lord has laid on my heart, and go from there, you know. Always amazes me how people want to talk about how they're proclaiming the gospel. But when you ask them to come to your aid to proclaim the gospel, they have all these excuses as to why they can't do it. Doesn't the Bible say go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature? It doesn't say just into our little tiny clique, does it? Anyway, it's amazing. Well, tonight, we're going to be singing out of the old school hymnal as usual, and also we're going to be singing a song out of the Psalter. And the first selection, Mark likes to sing Bride of Christ. It's on page 226. By the way, the Bride of Christ is the church. You can talk about all your local assemblies all you want to, people. Okay? and talk about your gathered assemblies all you want to. But I'm here to tell you that the Church of Christ is the Bride of Christ. The blood-bought ones, the chosen ones. And if you're going to try to tell me I'm unrepentant, go ahead. Because you don't determine who God's church is. God determines who His church is. It's His choice. It's not your choice. Go ahead, Mark.
The Church of Christ we have today, a blessing from the Lord. He gave her to His Son to save and take her home above. The turtle dove is singing now, the winter's past and gone. Rise up, my fair one, come away, I'll take you home to say. She was His bride before she knew she had a husband dear. And when for her His choice was made, it caused her to draw near. When she adorned with all His grace shall be exalted there, no queen with all her glory here was ever half so fair. The turtle dove is singing now, the winter's past and gone. Rise up, my fair one, come away, I'll take you home to stay. Okay, the psalm we're going to sing is page 46, Psalm 92C. 46, Psalm 92C. Mark, you want to read that one? Yeah. It's good to thank the Lord, to praise your name most high, to show your love with done your faithfulness all night. The ten-string lyre with sweet voice, flute, and rippling harp your praise inspire. Your deeds, Lord, made me glad. I'll joy in what you've done. How great your doing, Lord, how deep your thoughts each one. Fools will be shown, the stupid can accept this truth to them be known. Those sinners grow like weeds, and doers blossom may. They're doomed to be destroyed, you Lord exalt this day. Lord, your foes fall. See how your foes, being evil men, are scattered all. You raise like ox my horn, pour fresh oil on my head. You made me see the spies and hear what waters said. My thriving palm, the righteous grow like cedars tall in Lebanon. Those planted by the Lord shall in God's courts be seen, when all those still bear fruit and flourish fresh and green, and loud proclaim, how upright is the Lord, my rock, no wrong in Him.
And no, I don't believe in gospel regeneration, but I do believe we're supposed to proclaim the gospel. So don't misinterpret what I said. I believe in quickening. But I believe that we're supposed to obey God's commands to go in all the world and preach the gospel, not just to our little clique. Okay. Okay. The last one we're going to sing is 261, the old school hymnal. Holy Spirit, faithful guide. You know, these people sure like these titles, don't they? They love to be called pastor, reverend, and doctor, and elder. They love it. Mark, you want to start that?
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, faithful guide, ever near the Christian side, gently lead us by the hand, pilgrims in a desert land, weary souls forever rejoice, while they hear that sweetest voice, whispering softly, wanderer, come, follow me, I'll guide thee home. Ever present, truest friend, ever near thine aid to lend, leave us not to doubt and fear, groping on in darkness drear. When the storms are raging sore, hearts grow faint and hope gives o'er, whispering softly, wanderer, come, follow me, I'll guide thee home. When our days of toil shall cease, waiting still for sweet release, nothing left but heaven and prayer, wondering if our names are there, wading deep the dismal flood, pleading not but Jesus' blood, whispering softly, wanderer, come, follow me, I'll guide thee home.
Dear Lord, we pray that you would be with us in this service tonight. Pray that your word would be open to us, and that your Holy Spirit would be our faithful guide, and lead and guide and direct us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You know, tonight I'm going to take a little bit different approach and just talk to you a little bit. I'm 64 years old. And since 37, God has called me into the ministry. And so you do the math, okay? 37, 47, 57, going on 30 years, okay? God has called me into the ministry. And I have not been a part of any denomination. Well, I've been proclaiming this gospel for the most part. And it's generally been where two or three are gathered together, but yet the gospel has went out across the world in almost every country in the world and in all the states of the United States via sermon audio through, whether it be in Pineville House Church. And yet, there are people that say that I'm not properly ordained to be a minister. Isn't that interesting? People say that I don't qualify. You know, that God didn't call me. That I have to be called by man. Okay? And, you know, it's an attack. It's an attack on the gospel. Attack on the what God has called me to do the last almost 30 years. And you know what? I would be less than honest if I were to say it doesn't hurt a little bit. because it does. But you know what? The Bible tells us if we're in Christ, we will suffer persecution. So I take great comfort in that I haven't just been welcomed into the fold by all these different Sovereign Grace Baptist churches and Primitive Baptist churches and all these little cliques, and been given liberty to proclaim the gospel in their pulpits. I take comfort in it. And the reason I take comfort in it is because when man shuns you, when man tries to say that you are not properly called into the gospel, they're shaking their fist in the face of God Almighty. That's what they tried to say about the Apostle Paul, isn't it? He said he didn't confer with flesh and blood. He also said he didn't come to baptize, but he came to preach the gospel. And that's what God has called me to do. Am I worthy? No. Am I a sinner? Yes. Chiefest of sinners. Do I falter and fail? Yes. Do I call myself a pastor, a reverend, a doctor, or an elder? No. But I do proclaim the gospel. And so, tonight, Weatherby House Church, Pineville House Church, is meeting again, like they have the last Sundays over the last, you know, years and years and years. And, you know, the gospel's going out. I've asked for people to help me proclaim the gospel. I've asked Sovereign Grace ministers to help me proclaim the gospel to the public, and they will not do it. They have all these excuses. I've asked brothers to join me on TalkShoe and proclaim the gospel, and they have all these reasons why they don't want to do it. They would rather be accepted by their little clique, wouldn't they? They'd rather be accepted by their clique. Line up with their clique. Jesus didn't line up with the clique. He wasn't part of the clique. And you know what? I'm kind of glad I'm not part of that clique. Oh, it'd be nice to be accepted and get pats on the back and the attaboys and all of that, but I'd much rather be approved by God rather than man. You know, put not your confidence in man. And you know what? On the other side, those that brag about the fact they never go to brick and mortar, they never associate in the body of believers, they stay at home all the time, they're just as guilty as on the other side, because they have their own little cliques, don't they? We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that includes Larry Phillips. That includes everyone that has a title of pastor, reverend, doctor, elder, deacon, bishop. They all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, you know, the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? We are worms. We are worms. Man is to be dethroned, and God, Christ, is to be exalted on the throne. When you stand up in your pulpit and you tower over your people and you have the feeling that you have the final say on everything as a pastor of your church, I'm here to tell you God will humble you. He will bring you down if you're cocksure about your having all the answers just because people call you brother, pastor, elder, deacon, reverend, doctor. And so God has a way of humbling all of us. You know, He's humbled me many times. And do I like it? No. But does that show that I may be possibly one of His? I think there's evidence of that fact. And am I worthy of it? No, I'm not. And so when I talk like this, people get mad. They get upset. Because it's the truth. I'm proclaiming the truth. Man wants to put himself up on a pedestal. He wants to believe that he has a higher office than everybody else in the church. He wants to believe that he has the final say on everything, and he doesn't. And these people don't have a clue about what reciprocity is in the body of Christ. They don't have a clue. They're so far from being reciprocal in relationships, it stinks. I must say. It does. It stinks. It stinks in my nostrils. And so, that's why so many people are scattered. That's why the sheep are scattered. Because these hirelings get up and try to put on themselves like they have all the answers, and they have the final say on everything. And they don't. They know within their heart, they believe that they are above the flock. They're above the flock. What did Christ say to the little widow that cast her mite in? He said, she's given more than all. That's what he said. She's given more than all of them. You know, why do you think Christ went out amongst the publicans and sinners and drank and ate with the publicans and sinners? He wasn't in his little clique. Why do you think he went and visited the lady of Samaria and said, I must needs go to Samaria? Why do you think he went in and looked up in that tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down today. I'm going to go to your house and have tea with you. Why do you think he did not stop Mary Magdalene from anointing his feet and his with her hair, with the oil? Why do you think that he went in and visited Martha, Mary, and Lazarus? Why do you think he went and healed people who were lepers and sick people? Why do you think he raised the dead? Why do you think he went into a wedding and turned the water into wine? Why? He didn't go in and just stay in the synagogue all the time. He didn't just go in and stay amongst the elite. He didn't have his nose up so far in the air that he couldn't relate to people outside of his little old, center of influence. I mean, he preached to 5,000 people from a boat. Why do you think he fed 3,000 people with a few loaves, barley loaves, and fishes, and another 5,000 with barley loaves and fishes? Because he cared about these people. That's why. Why do you think he showed himself to over 500 people before he ascended back to heaven after he was resurrected? He says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, he didn't say, come unto me, all ye that got all your theological things in order. He didn't say, come unto me, all you people that have been properly ordained in the ministry and preach to each other. He didn't say, come unto me, all ye that have all your theology correct, and I will make it more correct. He didn't say that. He said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know what? I believe that Christ probably wouldn't even be a part of organized religion if he were here today. He would be out there amongst the highways and byways, among the hurting people, among the poor and the fatherless and the widows and the sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous. came to call the sinners to repentance. Are you righteous? Are you righteous? Depending upon your theology? Are you depending upon your having all your T's crossed and your I's dotted, your theological little constructs of your little clique? Sounds like Phariseeism to me. Christ said he didn't come to call the righteous. He said he came to call the sinners to repentance. I'm here to say I'm a sinner. And I can only be granted repentance by the Holy Spirit showing me. And so that's really my message tonight. I haven't gone through scripture by scripture, but I've given you my heart and I've used a lot of scripture. The Bible says that he came to call the sinners to repentance. He didn't come to call the righteous. So all you pastors, all you elders, all you deacons, all you bishops, all you people with your big titles and your snooty attitudes and thinking you're too good to mingle against with sinners, may God convict you of your self-righteousness, is my admonition and exhortation to you. May God convict you of your self-righteous behavior. Afraid you might get hurt? Afraid you might, somebody might say something that would offend you? Christ said many will be offended. That's what he said. Christ said if you're in Christ, you will suffer persecution. Are you just trying to keep yourself from having to go through a little bit of persecution, brothers? We all do that. No one wants persecution. But what I find is people will say, do as I say, not as I do. I had that when I was going, the case was going on with the state of Missouri. All these people were telling me how I should stand up for the truth and so on. But where were they when the court date came? One guy even went to the counsel of his church who was a social worker who worked with me and said he would testify on my behalf, and the counsel advised him not to testify. Oh, man. I'll tell you. Well, one of these days, the veil is going to be torn back and people are going to see who the real sheep are. Not the hirelings out there. Not the hirelings. Not the ones that scatter the flock. Not the ones that have a cocky attitude and stand up and tower over everybody and think they're somebody. No. And so that's my message tonight. Are you a pastor? Are you an elder? Are you a reverend? Are you a bishop? Are you a deacon? Are you properly ordained? Are you self-righteous? Do you think you're too good to go out into the lost and dying world and proclaim the truth of gospel? You want to hide in your little clique and give each other attaboys and pat each other on the back? God help us. Do we have a final selection? Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed, O ye heavy laden,
come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my might. Come, my yoke is easy, and my burden's light. Are you disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care? Do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus, He will give you rest. Have you cares of business, cares of pressing debt, cares of social life, or cares of hope unmet? Are you by remorse or sense of guilt depressed? Come right on to Jesus, He will give you rest. Have you by temptation often conquered been? Has a sense of weakness brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you, He will claim His best. In the Holy Spirit, He will give you rest. Come unto me. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my might. Come, my yoke is easy, and my burden's light.
Well, we are going to be having a talk shoot tomorrow night, the Lord being in the matter, providing my Skype works and everything. And I've sent out an announcement. I ask a couple people to come on with me, and they pretty much, both of them, the one guy specifically said he wouldn't do it. He wanted to listen to some programs and stuff before he came on. In other words, you know, people, you know, the old saying, excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. You know, it reminds me of a guy wanting to borrow my axe. And me telling him, no, I'm not going to loan you my axe. And he says, why? I said, because my wife's making homemade vegetable beef soup. He says, well, what does that have to do with you loaning my axe? Nothing, but if I don't want to loan you my axe, that's just as good an excuse as any of them. That's the way it was. It was an excuse. And you know who you are, brother. And so I'm calling you out. And if you don't like it, call me and talk to me. I think it's wrong when you don't reach out to other people when they ask for your assistance and your aid. And that goes for anybody who I ask for assistance in proclaiming the gospel. When you have all these reasons why you can't do it, you know, maybe I'll start coming up with excuses why I can't fellowship with you. Oh, I have to, my wife's making, you know, homemade vegetable soup today. I can't come up to Joplin this week. You know, one's excuse is just as good as another. So, anyway, that's about all I have to say. God be with everyone. He will be with whoever he wants to be with.